I get to come here to tell you that, as Brian pointed out, I think I have maybe the best job in the entire world. And the reason is that I get to speak to two different audiences. I always talk about reproduction, and reproduction is amazing. I mean, everything from fertilized egg and a morula that we can split in half and make embryonic clones, to the placental membranes that keep a calf alive, to the actual birth of a calf. It's pretty easy to sell. The two audiences that I get to speak to are my biggest audience and most often audience is a group of freshman students. I teach the introductory animal and poultry science class at Virginia Tech, and these are kids right off the truck. I mean, I get them the minute they come to college. And that is the greatest thing that you could ever do, because there's nothing more excitable than a freshman in college. And, you know, it seems like we lose the desire for education, but not freshmen. They're anxious, and so I love having them in class. The other group that I like to talk to are cow-calf producers, because I talk about getting people's cows bred, and who better to talk to than people that care as much about that as I do. And so those are the two audiences I have. I teach to one, and I teach to the other. And I really do think I have the best job in the world. Whenever I talk to students or I talk to cow-calf producers, my start-off message is exactly the same. And that's that I think that the most important thing you can learn when you talk about reproduction in cattle is the ester cycle of the cow. And the reason is the events that occur on the ovary of a cow and the hormones that are produced by those structures really are the basis for everything about reproduction in cattle. If you understand the ester cycle of a cow, you know why a cow comes into heat every 21 days. If you understand the ester cycle of a cow, you know the barriers we have to overcome to get a cow to become pregnant. If you understand what it takes to maintain pregnancy in a cow, and so by doing that, you know why a cow that's pregnant doesn't come back into heat every 21 days. In the same way, I think you appreciate when a cow loses a calf what it takes for her to start cycling again and try to get her bred. So I really believe that the ester cycle is the key. And so I try to teach people about the ester cycle so that they can answer their own questions about reproduction in cattle. Now, when I talk about the ester cycle, I generally start at day zero. Day zero, by definition, is typically the day that a cow is in heat. And you know, when you think about it, it's the only day that we can see of the ester cycle, because we know that she's in standing heat. She's in standing heat because there's a large fluid-filled follicle on that ovary secreting estrogen. The estrogen goes through the bloodstream and causes all the changes we see when a cow's in heat, standing to be mounted, as well as the secondary signs like going off feed, bellowing, becoming more nervous, this mucus secretion from the cervix that flows out through the vulva. All those are the response to estrogen. While that follicle is developing, that ovum within it is maturing, and generally a cow will ovulate about 30 hours after she first comes into heat. So that's on day one of the ester cycle. Once the cow ovulates, she releases the egg into the oviduct, and that's an important event, not only because it makes that ovum available for fertilization, but also because allows those cells that made up the wall of the follicle available, if you will, to become the corpus luteum. The corpus luteum forms from the same cells that made up the wall of the follicle, but they're different because as they form the corpus luteum, or CL, they secrete another hormone, progesterone. If estrogen's responsible for bringing a cow into heat and all those signs that we think of being in heat, progesterone's the opposite. It keeps the cow from coming into heat by keeping a large follicle from developing as long as the corpus luteum is present. Now, the corpus luteum grows in size, secretes more progesterone, reaches its maximum diameter somewhere between day 10 and day 18. But then on day 18, it's a very important event because that's the time we call maternal recognition of pregnancy. It's a time when the uterus determines whether there's a viable embryo present that requires maintenance of the corpus luteum. But if there's not a pregnancy there, instead what the non-pregnant uterus does is it secretes prostaglandin F2 alpha.
the same compound that Herb talked about being in luteolysis. That prostaglandin regresses the corpus luteum. With the corpus luteum regressed, progesterone declines. If progesterone declines, that allows a new follicle to develop, and the cycle is complete because that follicle secretes estrogen. The cow comes back into heat. Generally, that takes about 21 days, but it can vary from 18 to 24 days and still be considered normal. That's the ester cycle. It seems pretty simple to me. Now, one obvious question is, what happens when a cow becomes pregnant? Brian, could you get me a glass of water? Well, the truth is, for the first 18 days of the cycle, nothing happens any differently in a pregnant cow than in a non-pregnant cow. Follicle ovulates. It does become fertilized. But then the corpus luteum develops just like it would in a non-pregnant cow. On day 18 of the cycle, however, is a critical time. Because if there is a viable embryo present in the uterus, then that blocks the release of prostaglandin from that non-pregnant uterus. If prostaglandin is not released, then the corpus luteum is not regressed. If the corpus luteum isn't regressed, then progesterone levels remain high, and they don't allow the development of a new follicle. That cow doesn't come into heat. And in fact, that corpus luteum stays present for the entire 283-day gestation until that calf is born. Pretty cool. Now, that's the ester cycle. Okay? And the events that make it up. To me, it doesn't seem that complicated. But to some people, it looks like this. It's very abstract. And I think the reason is that you can't see it. You know, you can't, other than the day the cow's in heat, you can't see the ester cycle. You know, very few of you sit around the dinner table and talk about the ester cycle. Now, at my house we do, but we're different. So it doesn't matter whether you're trying to teach the ester cycle to a group of college students or whether you're trying to teach an ester cycle to a cowboy. They don't seem to get it, okay? And I think the reason that they don't get it is that they can't see it. So, my job here in California is to build an ester cycle so that you can take the damn thing home with you. And the next time you have a question about reproduction, you can think about the ester cycle we built in Sacramento and try to answer your own questions, okay, instead of calling some poor fool like me. So I'm going to build an ester cycle for you. But I'm going to need 6 people to help me. And these aren't really volunteers, because at this stage of the talk, everybody starts looking at their shoes. It's like they must have left them untied because they won't look at me, because if they look at me, they're going to get picked as one of the volunteers. All right? But actually, the volunteers have to have certain characteristics. All right? And so I guess I'll just pick them. Hi, Randy. I need a short person, okay? You know, in a short intern with a blue shirt would be perfect, don't you think?
I okay. guess so.
Yeah. What's your name?
Krista.
Krista? Good to meet you, Krista. Why don't you go up there on the stage and wait for us, Krista, all right? I won't hurt you, I promise. Okay. Now, I need a big person, and if they're an administrative post, it's even better. So I think we should have it's president, right? It's president of BIF who was not here earlier to accept the resolution, so I think it's only fitting that you come up here and help us now.
Okay.
All right? What's your name?
Tommy.
Krista and Tommy. The tall and the short of the ester cycle. Aren't you anxious to see what they end up doing? All right? Now I just need some normal people. God, there aren't any. No, there really are. Okay, you just have to search for them. All right? Good. Hi, Bill. Damn, you wander through the crowd, you see a bunch of people you've never seen in a long time. Okay? Good. I think this guy with the black shirt would help me. Don't you? Come on, would you help us? What's your name?
Doug.
Doug, Krista, and Tommy. Go on up here with Krista and Tommy, Doug. All right? Doug, Krista, and Tommy. Good. All right. I need some more help here. Would you help me?
Sure.
Kurt, what's your name?
I'm Woody.
Woody?
Yeah.
Woody, Tommy, Krista, and Doug. Okay? Whew. I need a tall guy. There's one from Virginia. Norman, why don't you come help me?
Oh, I'd love to.
Good, right up there. Tommy, Krista. Shit, I forgot their name. Tommy, Krista, Doug, Woody, and Norm. You know, if you get Daryl and Daryl, send them back. It won't work, all right? Good, I need one more woman. You got a beautiful smile. Would you come and help us? Herb, this is sort of like picking replacement heifers. You know it? Yeah, it is. What's your name?
Mandy.
Come on up, Mandy. Thank you very much. Mandy, Norm, Tommy, Krista, Doug, and Woody. Right? Now, we got to get these people in the right spots. Mandy, I want you here because this is a multi-talented position. Okay? Then, Tommy, I need you right here, second. Okay, and then I need, that's the tall of it, or the big of it, and then the short of it, I need you right here, Krista, okay? And then Norm, you be right behind this podium, all right, because they can still see you. That's why I picked you for this spot, all right?
I should Good. Be down there.
No, Doug, I think I like you right here, okay? That black shirt's pretty snappy, okay? And Woody, I want you way over here, buddy.
All right.
Almost falling off the stage,
all right?
All right?
Do that.
Good. You come over here. Good. All right, so we got Mandy, Tommy, Krista, Norm, Doug, and Woody. Okay, I remember their names. Now, these guys are days of the ester cycle. And I was a little afraid that they would forget who they were, so I brought signs. Phew. I tell you what, you want to have a little fun going through the security at the airport? You do this right here. And, you know, I got checked more ways by some large African-American woman in O'Hare Airport than I thought was possible. Okay? All right. I felt violated. But I'm over it. Okay? We were good. All right. Now, the truth is, Mandy, okay, you're going to be day 18 of the cycle. All right? This is a multi-talented position. You put that around your neck because you're going to need your hands. All right? And the truth is, okay, when you look down here at these other wahoos, you're really not with them.
Okay.
You are part of the last cycle. All right? They're part of the other group. Okay? And so that's probably a good thing. Okay? Tommy.
Yes.
All right? Where are you from, Tommy?
Alabama.
Good. Well, I'm glad. You probably saw the same woman in the TSA line that I did. Are you married?
Was.
He was married. Okay, you are married. You're not looking for a second wife.
No.
Okay, well, that's too bad, Tommy, because you're about to get lucky. Now, have you ever come in heat before?
Been accused of it.
Been accused of it. Yeah, okay, good. Put that around your neck, all right? All right. Krista? This is a much safer position, okay? Just keep your distance from Tommy here, and you're going to be all right? I promise. You're going to be day four. I needed a short person for day four, and you'll see why. All right? Norman?
All right.
I needed a tall person for day 12 for two reasons, so they could see behind the podium, and also, well, you'll see biologically here in a minute, okay? All right. Doug, look down there at Mandy, okay? Mandy is really glad she doesn't look like you. But you, like Mandy, are going to be day 18 of the cycle, okay?
But she's counting her blessings, buddy. All right. Woody?
Yep.
Okay. You had your wife here, didn't you?
No.
It was your girlfriend.
No, I think it was my wife.
Oh, it was your wife.
I had a memory problem.
Okay. She's got a memory. Well, that's okay. Oh, well, never mind. All right. Now, you too, Woody, are going to get lucky. Okay, but wait. Woody's only going to get lucky if Tommy doesn't become pregnant. Okay, so we don't know yet. Okay, we don't know. All right. Now, now I have to load up. You know, I always wondered what it took a cow so long to come and heat for. Well, it's because she's got to load up with all this stuff that it just absolutely takes forever to get this done. Okay? All right. You ready?
Sure.
Good. Move back a little bit, but don't fall off the stage or I'll get in trouble. Okay, now. All right. We're at the end of the last cycle. Before you start a new cycle, you've got to end the last one. All right? Now, we're at day 18 of the last cycle, and the cow's not pregnant. You see that? Okay. Now. There. There's other ways to check, but
I appreciate you not doing
okay,
that.
We're going to take her word for it, okay? So, but we'll keep that, Tommy, because we might need it here a little bit, all right? All right, we're at the end of the last cycle. The cow's not pregnant, okay? So the CL regresses. When the CL regresses, progesterone goes down, and this is your part now, and a new develops. I happen to have one in my pocket. Cows carry these all the time. Ooh, it's an orange cow, kind of like Halloween. Virgin heifer. You're not a smoker, are you? Okay, keep going. Good, okay? Stop. Follicle secretes the hormone. Good. Now, pass the follicle over to Tommy without losing any follicular fluid. Okay? Now, you have to be here and on command. You kind of got to do back and forth. That's why this was a multi-talented position.
Okay.
Got it? Okay, right here. Okay. Follicle secretes the hormone. Estrogen causes the cow to come into heat. How do you know she's in heat?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, come on. Some of you own cattle out there, damn it. Hey. She stands. What else? Bellary.
Moo.
Good. Last meeting we did, guy went, bah. We kind of had to start over again. Okay. What else? Don't turn around. It's bad. Okay? Good. All those things. Well, there's one thing maybe I left out of the slideshow. And that is, they also wear these little hats. So, here you are. You've been at the BIF meetings. You're driving home down the interstate, going back to Fresno. You look out in the field. There's a cow with a hat wearing a sign and a balloon. Slam on the brakes. Run to the door. Knock on the door. Guy comes to the door and goes, "You got a cow in heat out there." He'll go, "You've been to the BIF meeting, haven't you?" Now, how long's this cow in heat? How long are your cows in heat, Herb? 3 days. 3 days, damn, it's a party. My God. 3 days and 66% of them still get pregnant. Most people's cows, Herbs, don't party quite that long. I would say 12 to 18 hours would be a book value cow. Now, don't try to stick up for your cows. It's too late. All right. So, this cow's in heat for 12 hours. She goes out of heat. Damn, hair's rubbed off the tail head. Thirty hours after she first comes into heat, then she ovulates. and she releases the egg into the oviduct. Goes into the big open-ended part of the oviduct called the infundibulum, and it catches it because it wraps itself around the ovary and grabs that egg. Then the cilia move that egg down to the middle part of the oviduct. All right? Meanwhile, back on the ovary, these cells that were the wall of the and were secreting the hormone now become the and start secreting the hormone progesterone. We'll put this progesterone right here in these fancy boots. Don't move. The corpus luteum starts out small because those cells just multiply. Okay? But hold this VT thing right forward, all right, so they get it in the pictures. But by day four, there's just enough progesterone to send an important signal. And that's the signal for this egg to move from the middle of the oviduct down into the uterus. You are the keeper of the uterus.
All right.
Meanwhile, back on the ovary, CL keeps growing. Cells keep dividing. By day 12, it reaches its maximum diameter. It's still there on day 18. Pass it over. Now, the question is this cow pregnant? I won't touch that.
Thank you.
Now, is this guy, you guys should know, is this cow pregnant? She is. Anybody think maybe this cow isn't pregnant? Why not? Where are you guys from? Say what?
California.
California. You go to school here?
Yeah.
Been to school here?
Yeah.
Okay. Where'd you go to school?
Chico
State, right? Okay. Dr. Daly, have him for class? Okay. The cat, let me just break this to you slowly. They have to be bred to become pregnant. So you see this right here? That's the look of a non-pregnant uterus. Got that? Okay, Chico State, anywhere else, that's a non-pregnant gal right there, buddy.
Thank God.
Now, if she's not pregnant, then this uterus secretes the hormone prostaglandin. Okay, you get to hold the prostaglandin since you're the uterus. Okay? What happens then once the prostaglandin secretes, it's kind of like going like this. They get a little smile on her face like that, and then the CL regresses. Just drop it. Just drop it. The CL regresses, what happens to progesterone? It declines. And a new develops. I happen to have another one in my pocket. Ooh, it's a Kansas State follicle. Small follicle. Small to medium follicle. Ooh, medium to large follicle. But you remember how I said the cycle could be 18 to 24 days? Okay. Good. Now, follicle secretes the hormone. Estrogen causes the cow to come into heat. Okay. How long is she in heat?
18.
She's a party animal, but she's only in heat 12 to 18 hours, all right? She goes out of heat, tailhead all roughed up, right? 30 hours after she first came into heat, she ovulates, releases the egg into the oviduct. Is that cool? Oh, I just heard this guy over here going to the other guy, on the way home, we'll stop and see if we can hear some cows ovulating. Good idea. Okay, have a couple drinks first. Good. Now, at this point, we generally have a quiz. Brian's going to start passing those out from the back, but usually I get the same blank looks on her face that I get from you. So usually we go through it one more time before we have the quiz, and so we'll do that, because they kind of got it down now, all right? So I'll take this. You keep the hat, all right? I'll take this. Good. You keep the sign, though, okay? Good. Good. Ooh, we need an egg, man. See why it's tough being a cow. Have a little more sympathy. All right, good. I'm good. You good?
I'm good.
Good. All right. Here we go. End of the last cycle. Cow's not pregnant. CL regresses and a new develops. Ooh, it's a red Angus, great. Small follicle. Medium follicle. Almost a large follicle. Ooh, large follicle. Pass it over time and don't lose any fluid. Okay? Follicle secretes a hormone. Oh, come on. Follicle secretes a hormone. Good. Estrogen causes the cow to? How do you know she's in heat? She stands to be mounted by the bull. Now, this is where we breed the cow. We won't do that. All right? But, think about it. If a bull breeds a cow, he deposits 8 billion sperm cells. These are sperm. 8 billion sperm cells in a vagina. 8 billion sperm cells down here in a vagina. Move up through the vagina, up through the cervix, okay? Into both uterine horns, up into the oviduct, and they get right here to the middle of the oviduct. Has she ovulated yet? No, and this is the cool part. This is Mother Nature's timing device. She gets the cow inseminated, the sperm get to the site of fertilization, okay, and they're waiting for the egg to ovulate. They're sitting here in the middle of the oviduct going, come on, baby! Meanwhile, back on the ovary, cow's in heat for 12 hours, she goes out of heat. 30 hours after she first came into heat, she ovulates. That was a scary one. And releases the egg into the oviduct. Goes in that big open-ended part of the oviduct because it wraps itself around the ovary and catches it. Right? Then the cilia, these are cilia, move that down into the middle part of the oviduct right here where the sperm are waiting. Now, do you hear that? That's the sound of fertilization. It's a good thing here. It's a bad thing in a girl's dorm. Okay? Meanwhile, cells that made up the wall of the follicle change and start become the corpus luteum and secrete the hormone progesterone. Corpus luteum starts out small, but it continues to grow, and it's there on day 12. It's there on day 18. Pass it over. But now, this cow, Chico State, is pregnant.
Happy days.
Neighbor's bull. Got it? Yeah.
Too much white.
Okay? See this now? That's the look of a pregnant uterus. All right? If the uterus is pregnant, does it secrete prostaglandin? No. So the corpus luteum is maintained, pass it over to Woody. Does the cow come and eat? No, because she's got high levels of progesterone. Okay? So how long does this corpus luteum stay there?
284 days.
Yeah, but to the end of pregnancy. Because it's secreting progesterone. It's not only keeping the cow out of heat, it's keeping her uterus from contracting. So day before this calf's going to be born, boom, that corpus luteum regresses, and the calf's delivered, unassisted. Is that cool or what? All right. Tommy said you could ask a couple questions about the cycle, but make them quick because he's never doing this again. Anybody got a question? Herb, you've been reading too many of them articles. Okay? Herb's question was, I heard that cows had follicular waves, and these cows didn't. This cow didn't have follicular waves. I lied to you. Okay? I made it simple by just talking about the last follicular wave. You're exactly right. Generally, after a cow ovulates, ovulates here, she'll have a follicular wave that lasts about 10 days. One follicle, bunch of follicles will develop. One become dominant, inhibit the others. It will go on, but it can't ovulate because of the corpus luteum. So it regresses, and another follicular wave may start. Okay?
that follicle that's the dominant follicle in the second follicle may go on and be the one that ovulates. But if the cycle's just a little bit longer, it may regress and you may get a third wave. Heifers don't just have two and cows don't just have three. Some heifers have two, some heifers have three, some cows have two, some cows have three. It's not very repeatable, okay? And we can control those waves by using gonadotropin releasing hormone at the beginning of a synchronization scheme. That's the whole idea, to turn a wave over and get a new wave to develop. Okay, but you're right. And so I kind of kept it simple, okay? So we just looked at the last wave. Good question. Yes, sir?
Why are we AIing 12 hours instead of 24?
I'm going to talk about that, okay, in a little bit with some slides and some data. Question was, why do we AI at 12 hours and not 24 to get closer to ovulation? And I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Others? One more. If not, give these guys, especially Tommy, a big round of applause. Just leave everything right where it is, and we'll be fine. And thank you very much. Tommy, thanks. You didn't know when you got elected this would be quite like this, did you? Thank you, man. Thanks, Norman. Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Woody. It's sweaty being a cow, I'll tell you that. Okay. Now, what I want to do is I want to focus. I think I want to focus. There should be a slide after that. What's going on here, Eric? Ah, there we go. I want to focus on one little segment. And the segment I want to focus on within the cycle is the one you've just asked a question about. From the time the cow first comes into heat to when she ovulates. In particular, I want to focus on that time period and look at a little bit of data that relates to when we should be breeding these cows to maximize our chances of getting them pregnant. Some of you that have been at this a while... Something ain't right here. Oh, I see what I'm doing. My bad. Some of you that have done this for a while are probably saying, why should we be questioning the AM-PM rule, which Trimberger wrote in 1943, and we've certainly time-tested it since then, and it seems like it has worked. Why are we retracing our steps and going back? Well, there's some trials that make me wonder about the timing of our insemination and whether we are doing it optimally. And let me share with you some examples. The first one is a trial that was reported in 1994 by Ray Niebel. And it was in a bunch of cooperating dairies where he and his graduate students went out and convinced them on each farm with over 6,000 inseminations to, on the same farm, half of the cows they bred by the AM-PM rule. If they're in heat in the morning, you breed them in the afternoon. If they're heat in the afternoon, you breed them in the morning. The other half, they bred once a day. Okay? So, for example, they'd breed once a day at 10 o'clock. Anything that was in heat right then, they'd breed it. And then anything that was in heat from 10 o'clock the day before, they'd breed it then too. So in that once-a-day breeding group, you're getting some cow that bred right at the beginning of heat, and you're getting some others that were being bred 20 hours or more after they came into heat, a real wide range. And yet, when you look at it with the AM-PM rule, their conception rate was essentially the same as when you were breeding them 12 hours after detecting them heifers. And there's other data like this, so it made me wonder. Another set of data that makes me wonder is all the time breeding experiments that have been done, and I just picked one, okay? Here's one that was reported by Larson et al. In 2006, where they did some cedar-based programs. They did one cedar-based program where they heat-checked and bred 12 hours later, all the way out to 84 hours, and then they just bred the rest. So most of the cows got bred based on heat and were bred 12 hours after being detected in heat. Another group of co-sync plus cedar was time-AI'd only at 66 hours after they pulled the cedar. Now, with a shot of GnRH at the same time you put the semen in. Now, think about this. Remember, we said from the time that a cow comes into heat till she ovulates is 30 hours. Well, in a normal cow that's just spontaneously coming into heat, her LH surges right at the beginning of her heat period. 30 hours later, she's going to ovulate. When you give a GnRH injection, you cause an LH surge, and it isn't until 30 hours later that cow ovulates. So when you put semen in the same time you inject her with GnRH, you're expecting that semen to last 30 hours and be there to fertilize the egg. And when you look at conception rates like this one that are the same as cows that were heat-checked and bred 12 hours later,
man, you scratch your head and go, maybe that semen lasts a lot longer than we thought it could. So what I did is I went back and looked at some data where they used electronic estrus detection for the most part to evaluate this period from when a cow comes into heat to when she ovulates. And the data that I pulled out from 7 different studies, 3 in dairy cows, 4 in beef cattle, was to look at the duration of estrus. How long are your cows in heat? Not 3 days. Okay? And the second thing was, once they're in heat, how many times do they get mounted during that heat period? And then the third one, which is really the most important, is what's the interval from when they first come into heat as detected by this electronic estrus detection device, HeatWatch, where they jump on, it's radio telemetric, it sends a signal to the personal computer, you know exactly when they came in heat because they mounted the first time, to when did they ovulate? They checked them with ultrasound, and when that follicle disappeared, ovulation had taken place. So what did they find? Well, there's some differences in beef and dairy cattle. Beef cows seem to have a shorter duration of estrus, 7 to 12 hours, dairy cows, as opposed to beef cows, 10 to 18 hours. Now, that may be due to their housing. The dairy cows are housed in free stalls on concrete. It's not the perfect place to have a little mounting fest. Okay? The beef cows in these trials were on pasture, or they were in dirt lots. Okay? And so the housing may have affected that. The number of mounts, dairy cows, not so many, okay? 10 to 12 mounts in a heat period, but beef cattle, 10 times, you know, 4, 5, 6 times that many. And this could be due not only to the difference between Holstein cows and beef cows, but also to the housing. And some of those groups in the beef experiments were actually small synchronized groups. So when you got more cattle in heat, you're going to get more mounting, and you've all seen that. So a little difference, though, in the duration of heat and the mounting activity between beef and dairy cow. But not much difference in the third one. If you look at the third parameter, how long from when they first come into heat to when they ovulate, 2 trials of beef cattle, 27.6 and 30 hours, 2 trials of beef cattle, 31 and 32 hours. So I don't think the two are really that much different from the time that they first show heat to the time that they ovulate that follicle and that egg is able to be fertilized. So I think the physiology is very similar. Given some data, given the study at the top, Dranfield and others at Virginia Tech actually did a big experiment to look at the interval from the onset of heat to the time of AI and how it affected pregnancy rate. What they did is they went into big dairies that had HeatWatch where they could get the exact time of onset of estrus, and they recorded the exact time of insemination. So they got some cows that were bred as little as 4 hours or less after the onset of heat, some that were 20 hours or more, and then they retrospectively went back and looked at these 12,000 inseminations, okay, not just your little backyard experiment, and tried to determine what the pregnancy rate was. When they looked at that data, it looked like this. Those cows that were bred real early, less than 4 hours, okay, up to about 12 hours, there was a slight but probably not statistically significant increase. But then notice that when you went past about 16 hours after the onset of estrus, things fell off quite a bit. When they analyzed the data, they said the optimum time in this set of dairy cows to breed them would have been between 4 and 12 hours after the onset of estrus. That's a little different than the AMPM rule, isn't it? That's saying maybe we should be breeding them a little bit earlier on the early side. Well, a little bit after this, there was a study done at Oklahoma State to look at essentially this period from the onset of estrus to ovulation and to characterize it in beef cattle. As I said before, it tends to be longer. In their case, they were looking at 3 different seasons of the year, so it varied from 14 to 16 hours that a cow was in heat, and then it was 40 to 80 mounts during that time period. When they looked at the interval from the onset of estrus to the time of ovulation, that ended up being an average of 31 hours in those beef cows. So they didn't breed the cows like Dransfield did, but they suggested, based on the literature, that the best time to breed these cattle would be 14 to 20 hours after the onset of estrus. That's different than the data that she reported. Why? Well, they said if you can wait longer, there should be more sperm there at the time of ovulation. You have a higher chance of fertilizing the egg. But they recognized that sperm have to be in the track 6 to 8 hours prior to the time that they can fertilize an egg. Capacitation has to take place. The changes in the sperm head that allow it to penetrate the egg need to take place. So you don't want to be too close to the time of ovulation. And Dransfield's data would bear that out by those cows that were bred very late. So we've got two different schools of thought a little bit. Maybe breed earlier than the AMPM rule, and this one says maybe breed later than the AMPM rule. Well, Dr. Sackey's group at Virginia Tech took a different look at this. They still went in and they bred cattle at right at the onset of estrus, 0 hours, at 12 hours after the onset of estrus, and 24 hours in a couple of different trials. But they didn't just look at pregnancy rates. They flushed the unfertilized egg or the developing embryo out of the cow's uterus on day 6 and looked at it. They determined the fertilization rate and they determined embryo quality, which they called a predictor of whether the pregnancy would be maintained or not. What they found was interesting. They found that when cows were bred early, especially at the onset of estrus, the fertilization rate tended to be lower, probably because there weren't enough sperm around at the time of ovulation. But the flip side was, if they did fertilize the egg, the quality of the embryo was better than when they were bred later than that. They hypothesized that there's something going on in the reproductive tract of the cow, and the longer those sperm stay there, there's a selection for sperm that have fewer defects and result in higher quality embryos that are more likely to maintain a pregnancy. If they looked at these cows that were bred late, especially the ones 24 hours after the onset of estrus, fertilization rate was much higher by waiting that long, but embryo quality was lower as a result. And so they thought that more of those pregnancies would be lost later on in pregnancy. So there was less sperm selection, okay? Or it may have been due to the aging oocyte, because remember we said they got to be in the tract 6 to 8 hours before they can fertilize the egg. If you put them in there right before ovulation, that egg's got to wait a matter of hours before it can be fertilized. And the egg is more fragile, if you will, than the sperm are in that regard. So when Sackey's group put it all together, they predicted pregnancy rates would look something like this to AI as you went from 0 hours to 24 hours, and they said it's a compromise. The compromise may be that it's best to be in the middle at 12 hours after the onset of estrus. Why? Because you're balancing that low fertilization rate if you breed too early versus the high fertilization rate if you breed later, but the low embryo quality if you breed later versus the high embryo quality if you breed earlier. And so we've kind of come right back to where we were in 1943. Is that bad news? Yeah. Well, I think every person has to look at the data and decide. I decided two things for myself. One is, I really do think the window of opportunity to breed cows is wider than we thought it was traditionally. How do I justify that? Look at the once-a-day AI programs. They seem to be successful. Secondly, look at those time breeding programs. When you inject a cow that has not been in heat with GnRH, she's going to ovulate 30 hours later, but you put sperm in there at that time, that sperm's got to be able to fertilize an egg 30 hours later, and it looks like from the data that it, in many cases, it's able to do that. So I think it's broader than we traditionally thought. Nonetheless, when you go to those controlled studies where they use electronic estrus detection devices, have different times of insemination, look at either fertilization rate, embryo quality, or pregnancy rate, the data pretty much says that it looks like that 12-hour time, for maybe those compromise reasons Sackey talked about, does end up being the optimum time. So I think in some ways we've justified what we've known since 1943. But in other ways we've said that there may be management schemes where you have to use once-a-day AI. There may be times because of labor shortages where you've got to use timed AI. Okay, and maybe it isn't exactly optimum, and I think what we've learned is that you don't fall off the end of the earth, okay, when you aren't exactly following the AMPM rule. And so management needs, okay, maximum may not be optimum in those situations. We may have to make it work, okay, as far as our management systems go. And that's kind of the way that I've looked at it. Well, I hope your little foray through the estrus cycle and some of this information about the time of insemination has helped you. And I appreciate your attention, and I'd be glad to answer any questions. Thank you. Yes, sir. Is this a Nobel Prize ceremony? Because I'm about to win it if I can answer this question. His question was, why do the SelectSync and other programs where you're using GnRH on the front end
not quite work as well on heifers as they do cows. And I you're making this harder. I lied to you again when I told you about the waves, because I told you that we could step in and at any point we could turn a wave over and start a new one with GnRH by causing an LH surge. That's not exactly true. There's 2 days at the beginning of a follicular wave, whether it be the first wave or the second wave or the third wave if they have one, where a GnRH injection won't turn a follicular wave over. And heifers do actually tend to have 3 waves, maybe a touch more than cows do. But we're just not controlling that follicle. You know, I did a talk with a bunch of dairy producers, and I told them they should be extremely grateful, because 20 years ago, we couldn't time breed cattle and get along very well. And the reason was we were controlling the corpus luteum only. We were regressing the corpus luteum, but not controlling the follicles. So if she had a really little follicle when we regressed the corpus luteum, it took her forever to come in heat. If she had a big old follicle and was right there ready for that follicle to be an ovulatory follicle and regress CL, she was in heat in 30 hours. And so we're trying to pick a time when you didn't control the follicles, but you just got rid of the CL, was a disaster. So we've got to control the follicles by turning them over and get a new follicle growing in all the cattle so that they're alike when we control the CL. We don't do that as well in heifers as we do in cows. I don't think we know exactly why, but I think it's related to the follicular waves. Okay, sorry. There's data that shows that it helps, okay? Especially if you're going to time breed them, okay? If you're going to time breed them, controlling that follicle is critical, okay? If you're going to heat check them, then having a tight synchrony of estrus is not near as important. You with me? Other questions? Yes, sir.
When you're on the same program, you give the GnRH off at the same time as you. Have you noticed any larger breakouts?
True. The question was, when you give GnRH in conjunction with timed AI, have you seen a higher rate of twinning? And I have not. And I haven't seen that documented in the literature. I haven't. Sorry.
It
gets you thrown in jail. The question is, what does estradiol do? I'm going back to his answer about the GnRH not turning over a follicle at some stages in the cycle. Estradiol will turn a follicle over anytime. And so we were using estradiol on the front end of these synchronization programs. We'd give an estradiol injection and put in the seeder, or maybe put in the seeder and the next day give an estradiol. Then we'd go with a seeder for 7 days, pull it out, give prostaglandin. That estradiol injection on the front end does a remarkable job of turning over follicles, okay? It's not legal, okay? And you may not get thrown into jail, but your veterinarian will if they do that. And so it's something we've got to find an alternative for, and that's why we're working with GnRH and other things. I'm being way too frank. Is that it? So, thank you very much. I'll turn it back over to you, Brian.